Hey there, listeners. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd just like to quickly address a mistake that I made during my own story last week, where I said that the only person that was there for me was Lizzie. And while that is mostly true, there is one other person that I had hoped to mention, but my brain was just completely fried telling my own story, and I unfortunately overlooked it. Before we get into the story, I just want to give a quick shout out to that person. She knows who she is. I'm still not mentioning names in the interest of protecting other people, but she was my home away from home. She played a huge role in keeping me sane and safe during that time as well. She was with me from the ages of, I think, 13, well, 12 really, but we got really close when we were 13, until now. So I just wanted to address the fact that she was there as well, and I don't want her to feel like I didn't appreciate anything that she did for me, because I absolutely did, and I still do to this day. So you know who you are, you know what the shout out is for. I'm sorry that I fucked up last week and forgot to mention you. Other than that, that's all I wanted to say. Please enjoy this week's episode. It is much less dark than last week. Case, I think, should we welcome our listeners to another week of the Poor Man's Podcast? Why didn't we just name ourselves that?
We're just so unintelligent.
We really are.
Not even.
It's because we were like, hey, want to start a podcast? Yeah, sure. What, we call it that? Okay, cool.
So, to be fair, Greva came up with that name so quick. There wasn't even a thought for anything else. We're like, it all has our names because we're so fucking egotistical. And I was like, this is great. We're pieces of shit talking about pieces of shit, so this is great.
Exactly. It was just the most perfect name. We couldn't dispute it.
No. To be fair.
We really couldn't.
It was just bang on.
It was by sheer luck that we got the name on the first go, because by God, the theme song and the artwork did not go as easily.
So, we won't talk about our early artwork.
It worked out in the end. We can't be, can't dispute that.
No. It can't be disputed.
And we have always been grateful for the work that was done for us. For free.
Oh, absolutely.
By everyone.
Absolutely. So, like we said, poor man's podcast. Mm-hmm. What money the fuck, do people think we have?
None. Not a cent. Not one brown cent do I have to my name currently. But speaking of Quiva, you can probably notice by the long chat we've already had. Holy fuck, how's it already been 5 minutes? Yeah, Quiva's not with us again this week. To be honest, I think we should just fire her, Liz.
Do you know what? I didn't want to say it, but it's the height of unprofessionalism.
We don't even get a doctor's note or something when she's out sick.
No! Do you know what I mean?
Just unacceptable at this point, I think.
To be honest, I know we don't give her paid sick days, but still, we might have to get her to see the company doctor.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, to be honest. I think she could be lying. I think she's busy at all.
Me too. I have strong feelings about it. I think she just wanted a day off and quite frankly, that's not how we do things around here. It's 100% dedication or nothing. So
exactly. It's podcast or die.
Yeah. Podcast or die. Quiva.
Die. No.
Quiva, die.
No.
I was going to say you're fired, but apparently you're just fired from life. So.
Delete. No. I take that back. I take that back out of the universe. No.
I am taking that. I'm leaving that in. I look forward to the arguments in the group chat of Quiva texting the fuck, Lizzie?
I'm like, I know I told you to die, but
it was said with love.
Exactly.
We're not good friends.
We're not good people.
Yeah. Maybe we should get fired.
Yeah, no, we're not great, are we?
But today, since Quiva abandoned us a short notice, we have decided to cover ghost stories.
All shade.
Because I'm pretty sure in the last episode I mentioned that we were doing a surprise episode for Lizzie, but that's still pending now.
Pending is in incomplete.
Yep.
No,
possibly,
it's not done.
Might not be ever, to be honest.
I'm holding out hope.
Yep. Yeah, so this week we're doing ghost stories instead. I don't remember if I said that or not, but I'm going to say it twice just in case.
I feel like you did.
I feel like I did too, but it seems like
I
the
can't
natural...
confirm I was listening properly.
I don't even listen to myself, so I can't blame you. Even the listeners probably zone out when I do these fucking intros. They're like, all right, just get on with it. So in the honor of, you know, almost Christmas, ghost stories. And will we go ahead and do a roll?
I think so. We haven't done one in a while.
It's been a really long time.
I've missed it, to be honest.
It's our signature dice roll. And normally you can hear the sound of a clacking in the background. And I know so many people are heartbroken, waiting to hear the of me throwing a dice onto the laptop. But sadly, no. I did find the dice, actually.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. I have it. It's downstairs. I just keep forgetting to bring it up to the office with me whenever we record. So, we're going with the app again. So, above 10 is you, and below 10 is me.
Will I do my little, like, finger tap roll that, like, hurts the shit out of my knuckles, but I'm willing to do it for the sake of the podcast?
Do it. We don't have the noise of the dice. We may as well have your drum roll.
Okay. Right, tell me when to go.
Go. And you are cursed.
Is it me again?
It's a fucking 12, too.
That was the last time. It's either 11 or 12.
You feared 11 and now we've moved forward one number. If you start fearing this, we're going to get stuck with 13. And that's when we die because we're misfortunes.
Excuse me, my birthday's on the 13th. I consider that a lucky number.
Do you actually consider yourself lucky to be alive, Lizzie? Come on.
Excuse me.
This is the press pool here. This is. Who are you lying to?
Myself. Otherwise, I will plummet. Right. Oh, I was getting all relaxed and comfortable.
If you'd like, we can exchange roles anyway and I can just tell you mine first.
No, that goes against everything I stand for, which is nothing, but still at the same time.
We don't stand. That's for regular people. We sit or we lay.
Oh, I laugh so ugly. Okay, I guess it's me. For this week's episode, I am going to do Charleville Castle from County Offaly. And I might have a bit of a personal connection to this, but we'll get to that at the very end. So, before the castle was initially built, there was a mansion on this site dating back as far as 1641. So, uber fucking haunted, okay? I don't care how old something is. I feel like if there's life around that long in a certain area, there's bound to be ghosts.
If you go over 100 years, then you've already gone into the lifespan of at least one human and a half. Some shit has gone down there.
Absolutely. It would be developed into Charleville Castle in 1798 by Charles William Bury and his architect friend Francis Johnston. And the pair of them were actually members of the Freemason Society and they were both very, very heavily into the occult.
Right.
So I'm like, could there have been like something lingering that maybe had caused, like apart from all the death, obviously. But could, like, anything be, like, how am I trying to say it? Like, attracted.
Yes, like a ritual gone wrong or a ritual gone right, even.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
I mean.
Exactly. We should go on. We can do a seance and try to ask Charles. I don't know if he died there, but still. Because you can go. Oh, yeah, BT Dubs, people. If anybody does want to go, you can do overnight stays there. And the people are very nice. So, the house would see a lot of debt and misfortune over the years. And the Burys actually suffered terribly throughout the famine. The estate was losing money rapidly and it didn't actually help that the second earl of the estate gambled pretty much a majority of the money away that belonged to the family.
You're gambling with
during
the
During a famine.
The potatoes are dead and so are the people and you're gambling your fucking money away. See.
Make it make sense.
That's a reason to be cursed as well. That's just bringing bad luck on your door by being that much of a piece of shit. So.
Yeah.
Like, we're not off to a good start.
During the famine, I'm sorry, with your money, you have to be, like, tighter than a crab's arsehole. You cannot just be throwing money away.
No, you most certainly can't. People were eating their dogs and you're just gambling money away. Even if you won, what are you using the extra money for? There's no food.
No.
Yeah. Logic.
None. So his son, the third Earl of Charleville Castle, went on to marry and he had 5 kids. So no one had any money during the famine. So no dowries could be exchanged. So it was actually a love marriage, which I thought was very cute. And then, like most things, when I get excited about something or start to love it, it crumbles and disappears before my very fucking eyes. Because
there we go. I was like, this can't be a nice story.
The marriage would not last. as his wife died in 1857, just 30 years of age, because the winter was especially cruel that year. And because like that, they had no food really. It's 17, whatever, 18, whatever. People didn't have fucking central heating.
No.
The bitch was freezing.
It's stone walls and fucking fires, like.
She done died.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sad, but it makes sense.
The third Earl would die 2 years nearly to the day that his wife did, and he was aged just 37, leaving 5 kids orphaned and under the care of their uncle Alfred. Is that not just fucking Batman?
That is literally, I was thinking.
Batman! Kind of cross with Umbrella Academy. And to be honest, it does sound class. Obviously, minus the dead parents, nobody wants that. But if you're like 5 little orphans running around in a big massive castle with an uncle that doesn't really pay you that much attention, but is also still lovely at the end of the day. Excuse you.
Sounds like a dream, to be honest. Better than going to an orphanage that isn't an orphanage, but it's an orphanage.
Just a kid's home for people or like little kids that don't have parents. Now, Alfred was all, like, by all means, a good and decent man. He did love the kids and he did care for them.
He built them a bat cave. He sorted out their costumes.
Do you know what I mean? Uncle of the fucking year. Uncle of the year. But he was still like a man at, no, this is going to sound terrible, like not a man at the end of the day, but like because they still weren't his kids as well. Like, yeah, he loved them as much, but still didn't give them, like, the attention.
Yeah, he could love them as needed. An uncle, not a father.
Yeah, exactly. And given how, like, you know, men's roles back in that time weren't to be this caring, doting, loving like, person, only a provider.
It was not the primary caregiving job of a man, definitely not.
Exactly. So he was there for him as much as he could, I suppose. But it still wasn't enough for the kids and they became very, very mischievous. Like, they were always, like, playing, like, pranks on people, just acting to shite in general. And on one day in April 1861, little 8-year-old Harriet Berry was playing in the nursery when she was called down for dinner. She was sent up to the second floor to wash her hands. And on the way down, she decided, oh, do you know what would be a great idea? I'm just going to slide down this hole here banister. Harriet would fall to her death, dying instantly, snapping her neck. And weirdly, this happened 2 years, but one day apart of the day that her father died.
Oh my god.
So there's a repetition of two, and I find that odd.
That's really weird.
Because it was like 2 years to the day that his wife had died, he had died, and now Harriet had died 2 years, bar one day.
After
when he had died.
I don't like that.
I don't like that. That made me fearful. Like,
yeah, that's like, It's like,
I didn't like it.
Again, okay, so the Freemason thing was before all of these people moved in, right?
Mm-hmm. The Freemason people would have been like their great-grandfather or their great-great-grandfather.
Sounds like a curse to me.
Uh-huh. I agree. And the level of crime in the country was so bad at the time, obviously because of the famine, everybody was start poor, was looking to sell stuff to like the wealthy Protestant farmers.
And most of it was probably just bread being stolen or turnips being taken away from the fucking British.
Oh, no, they're grave robbing too, bitch. So their family had to post guards outside of her tomb before it was fully sealed up, just in case people came in and like robbed any jewellery that she had on her body, any of her dresses,
Jesus.
Shoes, the whole lot. Yeah.
I mean, I'm everything sorry, I know price. Everyone's starving and it's a bad time and people are dying and emigrating and stuff like that. You don't rob an 8-year-old girl.
I mean, no, but if you think of it from the point that 8-year-old girl is dead, you have a little girl yourself or you have a family to feed, swiping a dress to be able to feed said kids isn't.
Yeah.
I feel like that wouldn't even be a question in people's mind.
No, it wouldn't.
And especially because Harriet and her family would have had well, whatever money that wasn't gambled away, it would have been a decent enough dress.
Still
so
would
she
have
could
had
have sold
enough,
that on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To like a wealthier family.
That's
they would have
true.
Got a pretty penny, I'd imagine.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Between just survival or not. Yeah. Okay. I can't argue with that. I mean, it still sucks, but like,
ethically, it's fucking it's sick. Like, but
it's a moral grey area.
Yeah. For sure. And the castle would see further death as two more of the 5 kids would die. And all died young in 1873. One was a little boy and one was a little girl. No names or ages were given, just that they were still kids at the time. And it was after Harriet had passed.
Do we know how they died?
No. Just that they died young. Mm-hmm.
suspicious.
Very, very fucking suspicious.
For two of them, you know what I mean? That it's not like, oh yeah, they got like dysentery or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sus.
It is sus.
It's sus.
It is very sus. And now we'll go on to the ghosts. So the first ghost we'll mention is a British soldier, and he's actually seen chained with his hands behind his back in like the dungeon. And it's thought that his is a residual haunting. So if anybody doesn't know what a residual haunting, basically it's one that's just constantly there, like all the time. It's nothing changing. It's like it's stuck in history on a time loop. Whereas an intelligent haunting would be the ones that are, when you're talking to it, it will answer you, or it'll move around the place. It will do different bits. But for him, he's always seen in the dungeon, hands to hide behind his back. And his head would be like staring towards the ground. And with a look on his face, like he is petrified. Can't blame him. And they think why he was there is because there was an uprising at some point. I don't know the fucking dates, but it was between the British and the French.
Yes.
And anybody that was like opposing to the crown was thrown in the dungeons. So it could be a case of, was he playing sides? Like, was he being an informant to the French? Because obviously the British were occupying Ireland at the time.
Yeah.
Obviously. So it could be seen that he was a bit of a turncoat, I suppose. And he could have been put in the dungeon because of it.
Interesting.
Shouting and crying can also be heard in the dungeon. Ian Murphy, a castle employee, was down in the dungeon with other groundskeepers, just, you know, doing the rounds, keeping the place up. And he started to feel like really nauseous. He couldn't breathe. He started sweating and dry heaving. I'm sorry, when I see people dry heave, I just laugh so much. I don't know why. I think it's the motion of the back. It's like when you see a cat go to vomit, it just makes
exactly
you laugh.
It's like a cat trying to get a hairball up.
Anyway, poor Ian. And his face apparently started to change, as in morph.
Oh, like, ew.
Yeah, it started to look like his cheeks were changing, his jawline was changing, as if it was changing into somebody else's face. And then he just refused to go down there after that. He was like, nope. No. Ian, fully fucking agree, pal.
Completely fair. Can't argue with that. I mean, you start sweating, dry heaving and fucking morphing. It's time to get a new
fucking
job.
Power Rangers. Like, yay, this is not the time.
Oh, no, thank you.
Mm-mm. No, makes me sick.
New job. Off you go.
Mm-hmm. Toddle on, David. Or Ian. No, David is the next person.
He can twaddle on too.
And to be honest, he probably did, because if I would have heard what this poor man heard, I would be twaddling on as well. So David, I think it's Wenger, but I think he's Irish, but I feel like it's probably a German name, so Wenger, I feel like, sounds better. We'll go with Wenger.
Yeah.
And he was a security guard at the place. And they are allowed to sleep on the grounds as well, if they so wish. Like, they can piss home if they want, but if it's running late, the owners let them tip there. Yeah, they're very nice people.
That's nice, yeah.
So David was actually sleeping in the tower room one night, and he was woken up by the sound of a table being dragged across the floor, like the room above him. And he went up to investigate, but there wasn't even a piece of furniture up there at all. But he said it was so heavy, so it was like it either sounded like a piece of furniture or a body.
Oh no.
But there was nothing up there at all. Like, not like the room was bare. See what I mean? David, you also run for the hills, you and
Ian. Honestly. Or at least just never sleep there again, because that's warnings. They are warnings.
Oh, like, 100%.
Get your hole out of here.
And now on the second floor, where we know little Harriet took her tumble. Mm-hmm. Not tumble, she broke her neck. Anyway.
She's just a free fall, probably, more so from the sounds of it.
Swan dive, look. We can't comment. So, like I said before, like, me and you could go stay there. Anybody can go stay there. Like, they're very, very sound with people wanting to come over. They do ghost tours, and it's all, like, really cheap, and you can stay overnight. So this is from one, like, person that was actually staying there. Now, there's no name given, but he said basically he was staying there one night on the second floor, and he heard his bedroom door open and close, open and close, open and close. So it was very quick, right? And he was telling himself, okay, it's just a breeze, it's just a breeze, just a breeze. He went up to close the door, but when he went to actually close it, he heard little footsteps skipping away, followed by a gentle la 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 la. And this man said he absolutely shat himself and just left.
I would have set myself on fire.
Throw myself head first down the stairs to join poor little Harriet. No way.
Honest to God.
No. That is terrifying.
The singing. Why always the singing? The singing. We don't need it.
You're the skipping. We're going to know that it's you, Harriet, right?
You're creepy Calm enough. Down. You're a little child ghost. Just, no thank you.
Oh, I actually just got mad chills there.
Hate it.
So the second floor is actually very, very active because people have seen Harriet ducking underneath the staircase looking like she's playing hide and seek, and she's been seen playing with a little boy around her own age. So I'm like, is it the little brother that had died?
One could only assume, because there's no reports of other like little boys dying in there, is there?
Or? No. Not that I found, but not to say, like, look, it was a castle, it had grounds. There's not to say that people that lived on those grounds didn't have kids that had died.
That's true.
But I'd say, if I could put money on it, like, it's ghost probably currency, the brother. It would be, yeah, the brother.
Ghost currency.
Bonnie Vance, so she is the current owner. Her first experience of Harriet was when her son, when he was just 4 years old, he went missing for about an hour. And you can, like, assume, look, the castle is actually massive, so to lose a kid for an hour in there, I won't say it's that hard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they searched all over the place for him and finally found him at the bottom of the staircase that Harriet fell from. Now, he's 4 years old. He's not going to have a fucking clue about any of this, obviously.
No, definitely.
And when they
not.
Asked him, like, where he was, he said, oh, I don't know, but the little girl held my hand. And that's all he said. So, like, did Harriet find him and then just, like, bring him back to know, like, where they know he would be found?
Yeah.
And she's also said now that obviously her son, he's all grown up, has his own kids. And she says sometimes she'll hear playing up the stairs, like little kids laughing and running around, and she thinks it's her grandkids. And then it takes her a minute to be like, oh no, fuck, they went home a couple of hours ago. And then it just seeps in, okay, it's probably fucking Harriet. And people that have seen her describe her as having curly ringlet blonde hair tied in blue ribbons and a blue and white dress. So stunning by all accounts, I suppose. Proper cute little kid.
Yeah.
And Ghost Adventures, or not Ghost Adventures, oh, Zach Baggins, I wish.
I was thinking, I was like, Zach went to Ireland? Like,
he did. No, he's aside like, from... he didn't come here.
Yeah, I know he did like here. The fairy circles and the...
He did Leap Castle and he did the Hellfire Club.
The Hellfire Club. Thank you. Yeah. I was blanking so bad. I was like, was it Loftus Hall or was it the Hellfire Club?
I feel like they did Loftus Hall as well.
I think they might have done Loftus Hall as well. I think they did it all in the same episode because they're like, you know, the story of Loftus Hall and the Hellfire Club are like ridiculously similar.
I think they are because they did, because Leap Castle took up like a whole episode, and then I think the Hellfire Club and Loftus Hall were like bridged because, you know, Devil in Hooves. So yeah,
and shooting through ceilings.
Yeah. Oh, it's got a fucking Superman launch, like wrecking the roof. So Ghost Hunters, there we are, Taps International, they visited and their batteries were dying, the cameras were glitching, just shit that they couldn't explain. Ooh. And when they were up on the third floor, they were hearing noises and they were like especially loud. And they said it's like you could hear a little girl like gasping, like a little. And when they went closer to it, it was like the noise was getting further away. So they think that it was like Harriet playing hide and seek with them. And anytime they were getting closer, she got a fright. So hence the. And then went to hide somewhere else until they found her again.
Oh my God.
Isn't that like really creepy, but also really cool? Like,
I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, that's kind of cute, but also kind of terrifying.
Yeah. Like, oh, but at the same time. So two investigators were in the kitchen. So Barry Fitzgerald and Andy Andrews. Andy, I feel like you need to talk to your parents, pet. That was not a wise choice.
Yeah, because that implies his name is Andrew Andrews. We've done this for a couple of episodes now. Can we stop?
You're just asking for a child to get bullied.
You really are.
Give it a rest.
It's
give
just
them
not
a...
up.
Like, even if you want a unique name, fine. Don't have, like, same name first and last. That is just...
It's kind of the opposite and unique then in that case, isn't it? You're just naming your kid what your last name is because, what, you just couldn't think of
it. You couldn't be any less bothered. Yeah.
Exactly. Christ.
So they could hear rummaging around in the kitchen. as if like somebody was looking for something. So they went in and they just presumed it was Harriet, because by any account it seems like she's the most active spirit there, like she's the one that will interact with people the most. So they just started asking basic questions like, are you Harriet? Do you want us to play a game with you? And apparently they heard a small child's voice saying, I'm hungry. I was like, aww. Oh, bless.
And she died during the famine, so that's like...
Yeah, really it makes awful. It more sad.
It's so awful.
Isn't it? Isn't that so bad? And while you're watching it as well, you can actually see like lights darting from the second floor. Like up and down, all the place. So it's like, what the fuck is that? But none of them had any... torches or anything that could admit that type of light, because it wasn't
right.
Do it like a torchlight. It's still passive, like you can see through it, like you can see obviously what's behind it, because the purpose obviously is to illuminate it. But this was like a solid ball.
Oh
yeah, so it's like you could see the light but you couldn't see through it. It was odd. It was just like its own moving force. It was really weird but also really cool. And the same can be seen down in the dungeon, but down in the dungeon it's pitch black, like they've no lights down there at all. So there couldn't be an explanation as to why there would have been a light.
That is creepy.
Isn't it? And I just have a few stories now. So my auntie is actually friends with the daughter of the people that own it. And she's had a couple of experiences herself where she has seen a woman in a long red dress walk around the courtyard. And they seem to think it could have been Harriet's mother. And also then when she was asleep, she said one night she woke up and she saw this man dressed in like a really kind of fine but old suit standing at the end of her bed, thinking maybe it could be the father. But now I would just like to tell everybody about the personal beef I have with that little bitch Harriet. So
it's like, oh, poor Harriet. The whole time everything would be like, oh, bless her. Sweet little girl. I'm like, I know it's coming at the end. It's not going to be. It's little bitch Harriet now.
Little bitch Harriet. So when I was 8, my auntie was getting married and they went to Charvel Castle to get their wedding photos taken. Obviously, none of us knew anything about this at the time. And what I was wearing on that day is very similar to what little Harriet looked like when she took her swan dive down the staircase, even down to the ringlet hair. And we were going up the stairs anyway, and literally I felt somebody push my chest. I went flying back, like on the stairs, only for my father was behind me and he caught me. And he was like, would you be careful? Like, thought that I was after stepping on my dress. It was a marble staircase, you know. We've covered something like this before.
Yep, a couple of times.
Death and tragedy. But I was like,
we don't trust a marble staircase.
No, not at all. Like, and I was trying to explain to her, like, no, like, it literally felt like somebody had pushed me right on my chest because I could still feel it. And that was really weird. And we were up in the ballroom area taking our pictures. Everything was grand. And down by the staircase that I nearly went flying, to the left of it, there's a toilet. And Dad ran down anyway. And I mean, the door to that bathroom was so thin, like, a fart could blow it open. That's how thin it was. Just to paint a picture. And we were waiting for him to come back up and take photographs. So we all went looking for him anyway. And you could hear him just like beating on the door. And he was like, Michael, my uncle, thinking that Michael was holding the door, not letting him out. So just to like act the shite basically, because we had like the run of the castle. And he was like, if you don't open that door, you lanky streak of piss. And he kept on baiting it. But there was nobody there. Like Michael was up the stairs with all of us. Like nobody had actually come down to him until we went to get him. But he had been roaring, beating on the door at this stage trying to get out. But he said it literally felt like somebody was holding the door closed. And in one of the other rooms, they kind of used it as like storage. It wasn't like a place where like people could really go in. It was just kind of like, do you know the way you have that shit press at home where everything just fucked
in
it?
Yeah,
one of those.
For whatever reason, when you said shit press, I thought of like, you know, like a coffee press, but for shit.
Like and waffle like, stamping no, shite.
No, Lizzie, I don't think we do have a shit press.
No.
A junk press. I understand.
No, you know what I mean. Yeah. And there was a room, but it was basically a giant shit press anyway. And I don't know who it was. I can't remember, to be honest, who it was, because like, I was fucking 8. But I was near it when it happened. And you could just hear this massive crashing noise. Like, nobody had actually gone into the room. They were just looking in it just to see, like, how high the ceilings were and how high the shit was stacked in the fucking room. So I suppose you could see, right, okay, something could have fallen. But whoever it was, I remember them shouting, what the fuck was that? It was like something had launched across the room to make loads of things fall. So it was like, So that was grand. We never thought anything of it then. I obviously had just told myself, okay, I did fall, even though I felt like I'd been pushed. And my auntie then, the one that had got married, her friend is a medium. So take that what you will. And she wasn't at the wedding. And Nicola was just showing her her wedding photos, you know. And it was just us at the wall of a castle. Like, you couldn't even see what castle it was, anything like that. And there was a picture of me, my mum, my great granny, and my granny. Well, my nanny, she'll kill me if she heard me call her a granny. All of us were in a picture by just like a grey stone wall. And your one was looking at it and she goes, like, I'm getting a lot of energy from this photograph. And we were like, all right. And she was like, no, she's like, there's a little girl that was present in this photograph. You can't see her, but she's present in this photograph. And we were like, what the fuck? So obviously still thought, like, you know, your mom was like raving mad. But then, but then I was in my house and I was a lot older at this stage. So we'll say 14, 15. An episode of Ghost Hunters International comes on. I found out about Harriet and I'm like, oh my God. Did this little bitch try push me down the stairs hoping I'd be like her new little ghost best friend? And I'm...
Because you were dressed like her, you were the same age, you had age, the ringlet hair.
Everything was the exact same.
I mean, I think possibly, yeah.
So, that, like, and I've always been fuming, so I'm like, Harriet, how dare you? Want to think I'd be friends with you in the first place. I don't know you, I don't know your personality.
Bold of you to assume.
To assume. And then you think I'm going to befriend you after you've, like, straight up murdered me. I don't think so, Harriet. That is not happening.
That's not how we make friends.
No. My God. So I'm like raving to go back just to see, you know, what her beef was. Because I'm still very much of the opinion she was trying to like off me.
I think we should definitely go back and try and have like a chat sinister. With her.
Do you know when like it was all like the little gang of ghost kids? Oh my God. Gas. Wait, what about if there was like a malevolent spirit and that's why like all the kids were trying? Stop it.
What if she was and that's why the other two kids died?
Oh my God. Like, obviously she was like, well, if
I'm dead, fuck ye these kids. Can be dead too.
Yeah, she was probably bored. Oh my God.
Yeah, wouldn't Harriet. You be?
Okay, Harriet, look, I do understand, but at the same time, time and place and.
Yeah.
Not me.
Appreciate the hustle, but stop it.
Yeah. But I definitely do want to go back. I want to go back. And me too. I will do a seance. I know Quiva doesn't want to ever do a seance because she's terrified of him. But I feel like...
We'll lock her in the dungeons and do it ourselves. It's fine.
Oh my God, yeah, she'd be petrified.
You go down there with the black and tan and enjoy yourself. We'll be up here talking to Harriet.
Yeah. Unless she tries to push. I'm not going up any stairs though, just because I don't trust her to like sneak up on me. Push. She's like, I missed my chance when I was 8. Boom.
It's okay. I have a problem with not being able to die or fall over to get a claim. So I will go, like, hang on first. To you.
Yeah.
And make
yeah,
sure
okay.
that she doesn't get you.
I mean, look, all entirely fair. I'll trust you. I trust you. And yeah.
My bad luck keeps me alive. That's the difference.
Isn't that mental? It's like the lucky cricket from Mulan. You know, it's terribly unlucky, but... Still
somehow
so lucky
still
the
gets the job done. Yeah, that's a good. That's me. I take it.
You're the cricket from Mulan.
Yep.
So yeah, that is the Charleville Castle feat. My actual beef with little dead bitch Harriet. I know she's a child, but still, so was I. She tried to kill me.
And you know she's been dead for like 400 years. So
fine. Let her on. Let her on.
She's older than all of us now. You have to think of it that way. I don't know how I never heard of Charleville Castle, actually. Like,
I don't know,
the haunty things.
Well, Offaly's the most haunted... Haunted, yes.
Haunted.
Haunted. Haunted county in Ireland, BT Dubs. Does anybody looking to do, like, ghost explorations? Here's the place to go.
Not nice to look at, but it's good to ghost explore.
Excuse you.
Is it, of all the places in Ireland, are the Midlands actually the nicest?
Have you never been around any of the lakes right like that? You're missing out, man. And there's loads of castles here too. Midlands are actually fair stunning, and we've better land, especially the shite land that's in the west, Quiva. Mm-hmm. Beefing. Beefing with your side of the country.
West.
Keep those windows closed.
We don't associate with the west, okay? Okay, so I guess it's my turn. I am doing the Dakota Apartments in New York.
I've never heard of it.
Good! Okay, I was so worried that you would have known what I was about to go into, and I was like, I really, really hope that you don't.
No, I don't. So,
okay. So we're going to get into the boring stuff first, as usual, because you need the background and the history and all
the
of that.
The history shite first. Yeah.
Exactly. We hate to do it, but we have to do it. And then we'll get into the fun stuff shortly. Edward Cabot Clark was the founder and CEO of the Singer Manufacturing Company. You know, the dickhead who made all the fucking sewing machines back in the day.
That's him. Oh.
Yeah. It's a rich bit already to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, famous and wealthy because, like I just said.
Sewing machines. Domestic housewives.
Everyone had
to do anything else.
Yeah. Everyone. He had incredible real estate visions for what was then a barren wasteland in downtown New York. And on the northwest corner of Central Park West and 72nd Street, and also, as I say that, can I just ask Americans why the fuck your street names are so convoluted?
Oh my god.
Why is it always a corner of something and something street? Can it not just be like, oh yeah, it's down there on Main Street? Like, is that... Why is there 72 streets?
I have always
meant
been
to know the difference?
So confused, but also yeah. So fascinated. Like, you're watching films and TV when they're like, I'll meet you. But, like, they're able to rhyme off these streets and corner names. Yeah. Like, it's nobody's business and everybody just knows where they are. I'm like, how? I still don't know the street names down the town where I've lived for, like, 20 years.
Same. Because they're just not important either.
No.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's because Ireland is just so small that we don't need shit like that. We're just like, hey, I'll meet you at Spar. Like, we know where the Spar is so it's fine. Yeah, I need an explanation for how American streets work because it just baffles me. It really does. So yeah, corner of Central Park West and 72nd Street. And it was across the road from some strawberry fields. Like, there was nothing else here, basically, when he decided to build this apartment complex.
Yeah.
And construction began on the luxury apartment building that would be the Dakota on October 25th, 1880.
Ooh, so sound.
The building was designed by Henry Janeway Hardenborough.
Sorry, why is there a need for so many names? Could you imagine that in a bank
card? They all have like...
Absolutely.
And it's like, it's long. It's so long. And I'm like, I'm going to fuck up these names. But luckily, the names don't repeat. So it's okay.
Thank God.
Once I've said them once successfully, I know I'm safe. Yeah, Henry later went on to design the Plaza Hotel and the Waldorf Astoria as well. So, like, really famous buildings in New York.
Very nice.
So he was a pretty good architect, we'll say. And the building was luxury at its highest, with apartments of up to 16 rooms in some. Could you... Ooh. I'm sorry.
What?
What do you need 16 rooms for? Who needs 16 rooms in an apartment?
Why?
Like, some of them had four, and it would, like... go all the way up to 16, or I said some places I saw 20 as well, so that's four more. Even that's even more ridiculous.
What's the point?
That what are you doing with them? I mean, I'm sure, like, it's for the rich and famous, so I'm sure the rich and famous have like coats that need their own bedroom or something.
But ah, man, get off it. But still,
you know what I mean, it is too much. I'm trying to clean that. Again, I know they have cleaners. I know this whole building probably had cleaners. Because I know the head cooks. So they definitely had maids.
Yeah.
But like, it still, it annoys 16 me.
16 fucking
The thoughts
rooms.
Of cleaning that fucking bothers me.
Like, and you know they only have like 1 to 2 kids, if any.
Ridiculous. But alas, we're not rich and famous, so we'll never know what
we'll
that kind
know.
Of luxury feels like.
God fucking damn it.
The exterior of the building was highly embellished and it had a combination architectural style which was unique to the Dakota, described as a mixture of Chateauesque, Gothic and German Renaissance.
Ooh, Chateau. I just really want to go to one, sorry.
That is, I mean, fully understandable. Again, reaching for a life that we cannot achieve.
Cries in poor. Come on, now we've been talking about castles and these big fancy fucking apartments, 16 bedrooms. Are we, we're allowed to be like depressed? It's like,
all these rich people, they were rich in the famine in your story, and then like we're rich in 18 fucking hundreds here. I'm like, I'm poor now, bitch. Like, so anyway, sad. Try not to get upset about it. Construction was finally completed on October 27th of 1884, and Edward had fabulous plans to, I believe, I'm not entirely sure, but I believe he wanted to live on an entire floor to himself.
Right, so kind of like a penthouse.
With his family. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our president's suite. Like built, they're usually top
floors. It was, yeah. I don't know, it probably would have been the top floor, but it wasn't really said because he wanted to move with his family.
No, this is just my mind and I'm speaking out loud. Ignore me.
Fair and understandable, but I wish I could give you an answer of being like, no, actually it wasn't the top floor, it was like the 12th floor or whatever, but I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Because he died in 82, so he never even got to see his hotel being built.
Oh, rage.
Yeah. And that is the first death that can be connected to the Dakota.
Right.
It was, from the very beginning, it was upscale and exclusive. From the very first day that it opened, and it was deemed a historical landmark in 1976.
Ooh, right, okay.
So with all of that combined, you can basically say, you know, we're not getting an apartment there, even if we could afford it, basically.
Yeah.
So it was originally built with 65 apartments. The larger ones have since been subdivided into more apartments, because again, nobody needs 20 fucking rooms.
Honestly, like that's 4 or 5 apartments.
Exactly. In one. And still like big luxury spacious ones, so they can afford to lose it. And the large stables were converted into condos, and then the 10th floor, which used to contain a gym and a playroom, were later turned into even more apartments. So naturally, with such a luxurious and exclusive building, you can expect it to be filled with luxurious and exclusive people. And that's exactly what it was. The condo board for the building is notoriously picky about who they grant the rights to buy an apartment to. And some notable residents that were rejected included Antonio Banderas.
What?
Melanie Griffith, Billy Joel, Carly Simon, and Gene Simmons. They were like, no.
Stop.
Yeah.
Even Gene. Rachel?
And Billy Joel. Motherfucking Joel wasn't famous enough for the Dakota.
What the fuck?
How are you not going to let the piano man in? Like, that's a sin.
I don't get that.
Mm.
And then, like, if you have the means to pay for it, well, I can understand, like, given, like, the line of work they're in, they probably, you know, had a few, like, reputation. So I could understand why they mightn't want that connected to such a fine establishment. Not saying that any of them are cokeheads, but, you know. It's implied.
Not saying they're not either.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I could see that, but still, man, look, if they have the money to be able to provide for it, get over yourself.
Especially, like, Antonio Banderas. Like,
yeah, Antonio.
He just seems like a wholesome little guy. Like
Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
Hero. Like, I know he has a lot more, like, reputable work than Trek, but...
Honestly.
Still.
It's the only one that counts. Puss in Boots. Yeah, so yeah, like I said, very fucking picky. And even I'm upset for the celebrities that got rejected because I'm like, what the fuck?
Hmm.
So, with all of that space and a lot of big personalities living and presumably dying in the Dakota for over 100 years, literally what I said earlier at the start of the episode, if you've more than 100 years, you've got some ghost activity.
Yeah.
You could say paranormal activity was almost guaranteed to happen. And by some reports, plenty of it. It even came to a point where some even refer to the building as cursed.
Oh, so
that's always fun.
Well then,
yeah,
to be honest,
you
Jane.
You love a cursed building.
Billy, Antonio, Kathy Griffin, we'll leave her. But don't
Melanie
be sad.
Melanie Griffith, but close enough.
Melanie Griffith, never mind. Why did I think it was...
there's a Griff in it, and it's close enough. There was also Carly Simon, so like, you know...
They're similar enough.
Just mushing together.
Whichever yeah. one it is.
They dodged the bullet.
There are countless reports of various ghosts being sighted, starting around when construction was being done at right. the hotel. So we start, literally, like I said, what's his tits dies, and yeah. ghosts starts being seen on the grounds where they're building the Dakota. So it's not like, it's just off from get-go. It doesn't seem like they should have continued construction.
The vibes weren't fitting.
So, and this one freaks me out so much. For no real reason other than, yeah, so the construction workers are near the building, doing their thing.
Yeah.
And they see the ghost of a man with a little boy's face.
Ew!
Right?
Ew! Ew, it's giving me Brahms just... from fucking the boy.
And, oh my god, Brahms.
Yeah, and it's not even like adult him face. It's like the creepy like little porcelain face that he's put yep. on his face. Ew, that's sick.
That's what I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I don't understand this description. Like, why? How do you not get sick when you see a grown man's body with a small child's face?
That's what I said. No, that's not right.
Very unsettling. Very. And they felt a sense of unease with the presence, which, bitch, obviously.
No shit.
You've got fucking a 40-year-old little boy looking at you. Like, that's... No. But though they said that the apparition never spoke to them or, like, approached them or anything.
Oh, my God.
They said that they always felt like they were being watched by him.
Just a quick. I wonder, is it, like, an attempt at a Benjamin Button? But something's just gone fucking wrong. So instead of the whole body morphing back into a child, it's just the face.
I mean, I don't know why. That's horrifying to think about.
I don't know why my mind went there.
Because that, Lizzie, no. Because that implies that there was a baby somewhere born with an old man's head. And that's even more disturbing.
I mean, have you seen the day of some babies? Some of them are so ugly. As he grew up,
like when he was like 3. And he had like the face of a 40-year-old man.
Oh my God.
I don't like that thought. I'm going to delete that from my brain and pretend it never happened. Oh Christ. Okay, yeah, so backwards Benjamin Button just stopped him pretty much. He didn't really do anything.
BBB.
But now we go into the better ghosts, the more famous ghosts with more activity.
Right.
One of, or possibly the most famous ghost. Well, debatable depending on how you look at fame. I'll get to that at the end.
Okay.
That lives at the Dakota is just known as the little girl. She doesn't have a name. Nobody knows who she is, where the fuck she even came from.
Right.
But she's just the little girl. And she appears wearing a yellow taffeta dress, black buckle shoes, and knee-high white socks. She's said to be a beautiful child with blonde hair. And the first sighting of her, it was, again, they get such a fucking rough go. It was by construction workers again.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, it's always the staff. It's always the workers that are working on this fucking place. It's so bad, like. But this time they were inside the building, not outside. And they were doing work in, like, I think a hallway.
Mm.
It was a hallway. Yes, it was a hallway. So she appeared, you know, kind of near them in the hallway and ran up to them and whatever. And they were like, who the fuck is this child? Because they didn't recognize her as anyone that, like, because they would have done work there frequently enough to kind of met the people that lived there.
Yeah. They didn't that's recognize what I was thinking. Her,
mm-hmm, as one of like the kids of the Dakota, like the kids that actually live there currently are actually alive.
Yeah.
So they're like, who not the fuck dead. Is this kid? Shouldn't be in the hallways, not safe. Like, obviously, not a construction site is no place for a child. I couldn't get like an information about how old they think she is either, whether she's like, you know, 5 or 8 or 12, you know, just little.
Yeah.
That's all I have, sadly. But yeah, she approached them in the hallway, like I said, but she was bouncing a little red ball, and any sort of sighting that's been seen of her, a lot of the time she has this little red ball and she's bouncing it.
Yeah. Very and much she... The Shining vibes.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Stay the fuck like
if that little bitch comes up and asks me to play, I'm like, no,
face,
thank you.
Push. Don't think you can push a ghost by its face, but boom.
Exactly.
I'm you puncturing
can
the ball.
You manifest your energy enough.
I mean, if determination
like
is there,
your spirit hand from your physical hand.
Let it reach out, poke the child in the eyes.
Yep. Slap you from the spirit realm. And yeah, she walked up to them, little red ball in hand, and she said, today is my birthday. And then they were like, you need to get the fuck out of here. So she ran away. And they were like worried about her safety since, you know, they were doing heavy building work. Like,
yeah, and angry New Yorkers too. Right? I'd be fucking terrified as well.
Get out of here.
Sounds beautiful though at the same time.
So one of the men went running after her and she ran down the hallway. And he chased her until she ran into one of the rooms. And he opened the door to get her out, only to discover that it wasn't a room at all, but a closet. And there was no sign of any little girl anywhere at all. She was gone.
Ooh, Houdini.
And most of the sightings that are like reported of her, they'll see her run in and out of closets. She just likes closets for whatever reason.
Oh.
Yep. So the worker went back to work and was like, that was fucking weird.
Terrifying.
Kind of got on with his job. Job, even. I don't think I said job
no,
the first time.
No, I heard dob.
I'm pretty sure I said dob. I don't know why. He went back to work. And later that same day, the same man fell from a high scaffold into an empty hallway and died.
No. My what? That's terrifying.
He fell to his death that day. And there's some debate about it as to whether the little girl is like, you know, the way demons disguise themselves as children.
Kids. Yeah.
There's debate that she's one of those.
Oh.
Or that it's just unrelated and like she didn't cause his death at all. It's just coincidence that he saw her the same day that he fell.
It could be either because they were shouting at her and she was like trying to be like, it's my birthday. And they were being mean and he like, I know he chased after her, but she said, might have been like, right, you know what? Fuck you. Today was my special day. And just decided to like push.
Yeah.
Just a gentle.
She might not have known she was going to kill him. She's a kid.
Yeah, she might have just been like, you're mean. Pushed him over and then realised that he was plummeting like 100,000, you know, however many feet it is to the concrete.
However many feet. Like, fair enough to die. So, yeah. It could be that. Because, yeah, because the other idea then is that she's just a friendly little girl playing in the hallways and she waves at people from like the lower level windows of the Dakota. Aww. And I don't know if it's like she'll wave at you from different windows whenever, you know, you'll see her in like, I don't know, apartment 3.
Yeah, she could just be like
seven
by
another
like,
day.
Yeah.
Or it's that if you're walking along and then you see her like apartment 3, apartment 5, apartment 7.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a constant apparition or you just see her in different places all the time as
right.
you go along your life. But yeah, she's always there, basically. It's like the most common sighted ghost of the Dakota is her.
Right.
So there is another child ghost, or if we're subscribing to the demon theory, then it could be the same demon.
Ooh.
That has been reported walking up and down the hallways. So when Roman Polanski filmed his movie Rosemary's Baby.
Pedophile.
Look, we won't talk about Roman Polanski, but we will talk about Rosemary's Baby. So that was filmed at the Dakota.
Right.
In apartment 77. And the crew was there getting shit ready, you know.
Setting up
for their however long they took to film. And they started to see a ghost of a 10-year-old boy on multiple occasions by all different people in the crew. And they said that he was accompanied by like a strange, musty odour whenever he would walk the hallways.
Oh, demon smell, sulfur.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And then I was saying, there's no smell seemed to be in connection with the little girl. So maybe she's not a demon, but maybe this little fucker is.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't the girl who pushed him at
all.
Maybe
it was him.
Exactly.
And she just got the blame.
Exactly. Yeah.
What an arsehole. I guarantee
it
that's
could be.
Happened.
I mean, like that strange musty smell just does not bode well.
No.
Not to me. So, after they finished filming, the crew all seemed to experience some sort of bad luck or injury, ranging all the way from a bad case of kidney stones to one of them falling into a coma.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Like, one of them had to go and get surgery for the kidney stones. They were that bad. And directly after filming, and another guy fell into a coma.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Really fucked up. I don't like that at all.
Yeah,
like,
whatever about kidney stones, but like, yeah, slipping into a fucking coma is just, that's the scary one. Because kidney stones, look.
That's, yeah. Whatever. Look,
painful
yeah,
to piss
painful,
out.
Painful, but you can get on.
but
you can deal. But coma, unless you come out of them,
it's like just before permanent. The forever sleep. Like it's
yeah, exactly.
it's a bit scary.
It's the trial period of the forever sleep.
Pre-death.
Yeah, so the boy was seen again after Judy Holliday passed away and her apartment was purchased by another couple. So the same musty odour was reported following the boy. Again. By workers who were painting the fucking apartment.
Poor workers, man.
They're getting such a raw deal, like. I personally, if I was in any sort of occupation of like builder or painter or anything like that, would I fuck be going near the Dakota?
No.
I'd be staying the fuck at home.
So like, oh, did you hear poor hooer that fell off the scaffolding and then, oh, the one that fell into a coma? No thanks.
Yeah. Like, how much more bad luck do you need to see to get that this place is fucking haunted?
Haunted, yeah.
So, one of the painters went back to the apartment. They'd kind of done everything, but he needed to do some touch-up work. And in he went. He entered. All was going well. And then the door slammed shut and the lights turned off. So obviously spooked, he was like, what the fuck? Yeah. And he grabbed his ladder and used it to prop the door open. And then he went to turn back on the light. And as soon as he did that, he felt somebody grab his hand and push it against a light bulb.
That'd be scalding hot.
Because we can assume it's been on for a while. Like, maybe it was cold. Maybe he was lucky and he just entered, turned it on cold. You know? We'd love to think that. But I don't see why the ghost would fucking bother then in that case. So
yeah, that
like
doesn't make sense.
Hot.
Yeah, that would have been red hot.
Yeah. It's like,
because, like, that's going to burn at such a high temperature. Only glass can fucking withstand it.
Like, if you ever accidentally touched a hot light bulb, it is not a good
time.
My,
trying to turn off those shitty lamps where they have the on and off switch.
We have to go inside it. Mm-hmm.
Death trap.
Biggest.
And literally, second degree burns on your knuckles.
Yeah. Honest to God. And that's just from, like, a second of contact. Imagine but a ghost holding your hand against a light bulb.
And then, especially when you don't know where the force is coming from, to be able to, like, pull or push away.
She grabbed you fucking. You're already frozen by the fear of being grabbed by something you can't see.
Oh
and
my
she's
god.
Like, sizzle, bitch.
That's terrifying. I don't
know. So,
like
that. Naturally. Your boy fled and he never returned. That was it. Bye.
Yeah.
New job. Thank you. I'm done with the Dakota. The only smart guy in this whole fucking story, to be quite honest, is the only one that I see reported as having got the fuck out of there and never gone back.
Oh my god.
So, yeah. Oh, okay. We're coming up to one of my absolute favourite ghosts of the Dakota because I find him hilarious.
Love it.
So, the basement of the Dakota is meant to have the most activity in the building. A porter, shock, horror, staff, headed down into the basement. And he had a heavy snow shovel fly off of the wall and almost hit him.
Oh!
So he hightailed it back out of
there. But I'm not being funny. The strength to push.
If you get a crack of a snow shovel, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, that too, yeah. Like to actually lift a snow shovel and yeet it at speed at somebody.
Launch it like a fucking javelin stick.
Yeah. Like
at somebody's skull. No, thank you.
It gets worse though as well. Even more fucking confusing. Because at least you could lift a snow shovel, you know, personally, you could get it out of your way or whatever. But he ran out of there and he went to go get somebody and was like, this just fucking happened. I need you to come with me. Like, this is fucking weird. So he got somebody to come back down with him. And right when they returned and went to see what was going on, a metal bar flew at them and landed at their feet. And when they went to pick it up, they found that it was too heavy for them to lift.
No, that's demon strength. Not convinced. Yep. Otherwise. Like,
block it up. Do you need the basement? No, I don't think you do.
No.
Just block it up.
There's no purpose. Build
remove
an attic.
Remove it.
Use one of the upper floors as an attic. There you go. Sorted.
Yeah. There you go. There's plenty of space in the Dakota. You don't need the haunted ass fucking...
Fill it with fucking
demons
cement.
Throwing metal at you shit. Like, no thanks. But now, we have the one reason that I would leave it open, even though he is, by all accounts, not a nice spirit.
Is he a bit of an ass?
Generally just very angry. But it's what he does. I find it so funny. So, a maintenance worker in the basement, again, fuck's sake, it's always some cunt doing a job.
God bless.
he reported seeing the angry spirit of a short man who had a crooked nose and a beard but no mustache.
Oh, stay it up.
And I know, a bit weird. But the short mustacheless man then snatches the wig off of his own head.
No, he doesn't.
And angrily shakes it in the maintenance man's face.
No, he doesn't. Yes, fucking he shaking does. His toupee, put that back on your scalp. Oh my God.
And there's just zero explanation as to why. There's just none.
The man is insane.
Oh, it cracks me up so much. I think it's the funniest thing. I wouldn't even be scared. I'd be like, what are you doing? Oh my God. Yeah, oh, it kills me.
It's but like
yeah.
Henry Zebrowski when he finally loses the last bit of his mind that is left.
Oh my God, yes. And it's just like him doing his like Yeti or Beast of Boggy Creek or whatever kind of creature out in the darkness of, oh, but while shaking the toupee.
That's what I pictured too.
Oh, Henry will never listen to this.
No, he won't.
We love you, Henry. But yes, it's considered that that is the ghost of Edward Clark, who built the fucking hotel in the first place.
Oh, wait, so Angry Ed.
Angry Ed and his little toupee. Yeah, 100%.
That is fucking hilarious.
And he's just like stalking the basement for whatever fucking reason. Like,
he's probably bull tick, because that was the only thing that was like built properly before the rest of the hotel before he died.
You might be right.
So he's like,
yeah.
Like, fuck it. Like, yeah, I can just see him.
This is where I'm fucking stuck. I was meant to have a whole floor to myself.
That's why he's probably raging that he's like in the basement with a demon when he's meant to be up in like penthouse.
I mean, that being said, he might be the demon in the basement.
I mean, look, man, was that
well
angry?
Could be the one.
Could understand. Yeah. Maybe.
If you're angry enough
right.
to rip off your own toupee, even after death, that's like, that's
exposing
some rage.
Yourself even in death is horrendous. But what about if, right, this is just, I have an idea. Now, this is pure delusions and I'm mental. But what about if he sold his soul, right, for all his fame and fortune? But then, do the way, like, the devil ever, like, completes his deals, he always backs down from them. As in, like, you know, like, something happens where, like, yeah, he gets
there's
his soul.
There's always some sort of loophole.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He died before the completion of his hotel, so obviously he was angry. But because he sold his soul, he is not pure, as to say it there. So leaving this, like, bad ball of energy. Because, like, he was done out of, one, his soul, and then, two, the thing he sold it for.
So he's left as like residual rage because he has nowhere to actually go.
And that's why it's just in the basement.
So he's stuck in the hotel that he never got to finish.
Yeah.
That would make sense. It would make sense. I mean, lots of deals were made with the devil back in the day, especially in, I feel like New York is like a hotspot for people making deals with the devil to get fame and fortune. So,
because it was up and coming place.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm wrong.
And I mean, the fact that where the Dakota is now is like crazy, busy, bustling.
Right in the middle of shit, New York.
Area.
Yeah.
When it was like nothing back in the day. It's like he knew what was coming. He knew how important that location was going to be. Mm. So, onto something. Also, can we just discuss the fact that we've just discovered that wigs cross into the spirit realm? And I find that fucking fascinating.
Like,
I know you go with whatever clothes you were wearing and stuff, but wigs. I just didn't consider wigs.
No, it wouldn't have even been a thought, to be honest. But I'm very glad.
Never would have occurred to me.
Because, like, what about if you were to be buried, right, with, like, a load of your wigs? Just say you were, like, Dolly Parton and you had, like, a million wigs. Do you reckon you could take them with you?
Oh, my God.
And then
that would be great.
Like, oh, not really feeling this one today. Oh, that's my weekend wig.
I mean, like, I'd like to hope that Dolly could at least take her most iconic wigs with her, because touch wood, 100 more years of Dolly Parton. We love her.
Love her.
She's never allowed to die, because there's very few good celebrities left and she's one of them.
She's a treasure.
But when she does leave this miserable earthly plane, I sincerely hope she brings all of her fucking wonderful glamour with her.
I hope so.
So we're rooting for you and your wigs, Dolly. We're rooting for you.
We love you.
But alas, I suppose, back to the ghosts.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's other smaller incidents that are reported of paranormal activity where it's like, they're not specifically, they haven't seen like a ghost or whatever, but just weird shit's happening.
Yeah.
And one of them was that newly installed panels on the elevator were being like repeatedly just slashed to bits. They were being scratched up, shredded up.
What?
Just destroyed constantly.
See, sure, yeah. Elevators freaks me out because I'm like, they're going to cut the cords. Plummet.
Oh, ew, ew. No, yeah, I don't like that.
No.
No, they think that might be Edward as well, that he just doesn't like the new panels that they put into the elevator. They're like, no, these are ugly.
Take you and your toupee and get back down to the fucking basement.
Shake your wigs elsewhere, Ed. Nobody's here for it. Yeah, because they replace them multiple times and they keep getting destroyed. And then I'm like, just change them. Obviously, he doesn't like them. You're just going to make more work for yourself. You can't argue with the undead.
Like, the man's not leaving. Can't be evicted.
He's been there that long. Do you really think you're getting rid of him now? Just change the fucking panels. Save yourself the stress. There's a couple that live there. They still live there now, as far as I know. Called the Weinsteins. Not that Weinstein. Because as soon as I read it, I was like, not them. Yeah, and then I was like, no, it's not them.
Thank God we've had enough sex offenders.
Exactly. And they're letting them into the fucking Dakota. Not
poor Gene Simmons. Antonio Barron.
Or Antonio. But yeah, so not them, but they experienced a lot of furniture like moving at all times of the day on its own, lights turning on and off, doors opening and closing, lots of stuff like that. And then one time when Mr. Weinstein was heading home, he looked up to see the light in his apartment was on, but nobody was home. So he was like, that's weird. But then he looked again and realized that the light was coming from a chandelier, but they didn't own any chandeliers.
What?
So he was like, what the fuck? And he counted the windows to make sure that it was actually his apartment. And sure enough, it was. But then when he entered it, like he got in, he got home, the lights were off. There was no chandelier.
Okay, see you later. Do you get?
Yeah. But then...
Do you get? I hate myself. That was a terrible joke.
It was a really bad joke.
It was.
But that's what we do, because we're not good at proper comedy. So... ha ha ha.
I'm dying.
But yeah, they did find that there was clips for a chandelier still there from previous tenants.
Oh, that's so. Oh, so like, chandeliers can cross over too.
Apparently so. Apparently you could take your fucking furniture with you and all.
But sure, then the Egyptians were doing it right.
Light fixtures.
When they were burying like chariots and shit with people. Sure, look, if you could take it with you and it works.
That does work under the assumption that the previous tenants were buried with their chandelier, and I find that fucking... really interesting to think about. What kind of a tomb did they have to fit? What if the chandelier was part of the tomb? I'm getting too fucking involved in this. I don't even know who the previous tenant was. But alas, they're the like minor hauntings. So lots of shit like that still goes on there.
Right.
So we have two ghosts remaining of the Dakota. And quite possibly the most important of all of the spirits that reside in the Dakota are these two. But we're going to start with the most famous former or technically still current resident, Mr. John Lennon.
Stop.
Yes. John Lennon and Yoko Ono shared an apartment there until the fateful day where John was shot just outside the building four times in the back by Mark David Chapman. Mm. So he died outside the Dakota.
Right. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Literally, like, in the entranceway.
Like, I knew he was, like, close to losing his marbles before, like, he passed. Oh, my God, wait, no, but he actually was. Like, he was, like, getting, like, really paranoid and he was starting to go mad. If he lived in the fucking Dakota.
There may be a reason for that. Yeah.
Interesting.
There's coming close to that. You're onto something. Just hold that thought until I finish about John. But, yeah, so John Lennon. And if anyone doesn't know.
Beatles.
But everyone should know.
Yeah.
He's from the Beatles. So just putting that out there for
uncultured swine. No, that's weird then. Because remember you said that was surrounding it, the Dakota beforehand, was Strawberry Fields. They have a song called Strawberry Fields Forever about an orphanage in Liverpool. I just find that mad. It's like a weird cross connection.
It's like, yeah, some sort of strange foreshadowing. I don't like that.
No, I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable now.
Hmm.
It's a cracking song though. All the same.
Yeah, so John Lennon. Yeah, his ghost has reportedly been seen by multiple people standing in the archway where he died. And I find this, like, everyone's kind of, like, talking about it as if it's like, oh, but, you know, it just wasn't the day for it. It's like, no, he was literally shot four times in the back by a fucking lunatic.
Because Catherine the Rye told him to. Like,
yeah. So it's not at all surprising that they say then that he has this look on his face that says, don't talk to me.
Man's probably pissed off.
They see him. Yeah. Wouldn't you?
That height of fame. Arguably one of the biggest.
Bigger than Jesus.
100%. Started off literally the culture of fangirls, like with Beatlemania.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But yeah, one of the more, I suppose, reliable sightings of him was by Yoko herself. Because she still, as far as I know to this day, lives in the apartment that they shared in the Dakota. Mm-hmm. I don't know that for a fact, but I know she stayed there for a while, for a long time afterwards. Yeah. So, she reported seeing him multiple times, but one of the most like important sightings, I guess, of him that she had was he was sitting at the piano in their apartment and he turned to her and he said, do not be afraid, I'm still with you.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
It's like,
like, not a massive fan of Yoko, but still, like, that's really sad.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, he seemed to love her and she loved him. So whatever anyone's personal opinion of either of them would be, like
she was,
they loved each other, you know?
A lot of people are under the impression that she was like the beginning of his ruin, as in when he started to go mad. Like, a lot of people did blame her. Because she also herself is a bit
eccentric, we'll say, to be polite.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. But still, like, imagine
we'll not talk shit, just in case.
Like, imagine.
I feel like she could curse me.
Yeah, I'm not convinced she's not a witch.
No.
What was I going to say again? we're terrible. It is still quite sad, but like, imagine the fright she would have got, like, and how traumatizing that would have been to see her dead fella playing the fucking piano. And then just for him to, like, acknowledge that he was still there and that he had passed, but she was like, like, I'm still with you. That is so sad.
And a lot of people are kind of like, well, why the fuck would she stay in the Dakota? Like,
if she still
sees
him.
Would you want to stay where your husband was murdered? But yeah, exactly that. If he's still there and she gets to still have some sort of a connection to him, why wouldn't she stay?
Yeah. Because she's obviously not going to be afraid of it. Like, whatever other things that she might see, given how haunted the place is. But, like, seeing your husband is going to trump all of that. Or what?
Exactly.
I don't know if they're married, but, like, still, like, his partner.
I feel like they weren't, but I don't
I don't
know.
Think they were.
I really don't. We should have really fact checked this before we started talking about it. But look, when have we ever been accurate about it?
Not
anything?
Once.
It's fine. They were in a relationship and they loved each other and that's all that fucking matters.
And then he died.
And then he died. So yeah, so there you have John. But before John Lennon died, he reported seeing a ghost of his own.
Ooh.
And he called her the crying lady.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
They're traumatizing in real life. And by real life, I mean when we're alive. Can you imagine seeing one dead?
Honestly. Have you ever heard an actual woman, like, proper cry? Like, not the fucking, like, little bitch cry that something has just kind of upset you. Like, when a woman is properly hurt, like something has shattered her soul and she cried. That is the most haunting sound in the world. And that's, like you said, that's when they're alive. So no thank you. A ghost just roaming the hallways crying. That sounds like the worst possible ghost you could have. Apart from a little singing kid.
Just imagine, like, you're trying to go to sleep and you hear that, like, shut up.
Yeah.
Number one.
You're literally like, it is 3 a.m. Can you give it a rest? Like,
shut the fuck
how
up.
How sad can you be?
Cry at sociable
hours.
It's
been 20 years. Yeah, please cry respectfully when you pass on to the afterlife and you're a sad bitch. It's considered that the, like, she said to have, okay, hang on. I've gotten ahead of myself. So she said to have dark curly hair.
Right.
And like I said, obvious reasons. She roams the hallway crying. And John wasn't the only one to see her, but he was, like, the first one to kind of talk about the fact that he'd seen her, and he called her the Crying Lady.
Right, okay.
So, many believe that the Crying Lady is, in fact, the ghost of a woman who used to manage the building between 1930 and 1950. And her name was Elise Vesely. And Elise was a self-proclaimed psychic. And as we said before, we love a self-proclaimed anything on this podcast. And she was really into like the paranormal and all of that stuff. And like some people kind of speculated maybe that's why she was drawn to work in the Dakota in the first place.
Yeah.
Because even by 1930s, 1950s, there was still ghosty shit going on. Like there had been ghosty shit going on. Yeah. So wouldn't make a lot of sense if that's why she was drawn there. During her time managing the building, Elise was struck by her own tragedy. And again, it's the fucking Dakota. It's definitely cursed, man, because her son was hit by a car just outside of the Dakota and was killed outright.
Fuck.
Just like he left the building and that was it. He just didn't live anymore, which is just so fucking sad. And now I don't have an age on the son. I don't know if it was like, you know,
kids shouldn't pass before their parents, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter to her because either way her little boy was just killed, yeah. Whether he was fucking 3 or 30, you know? But just for the sake of like telling the story, I don't have an age. I don't know how old Elise's son was. But apparently, obviously, she was never the same after her son's death. But it wasn't the way that normally happens. She didn't change in a way that, like, you know, she got like sullen or angry or just depressed or whatever, or withdrew into herself. Yeah. The way you would, the way most people would in that situation. She was completely different. She changed in like complete positive ways. And she started taking care of everyone more. And she was really like attentive and friendly and almost like she was like making the most out of
what,
life
yeah.
and love and the connections that she
yeah,
had.
Yeah, sure as well. She's
which I think is really sweet.
Like how quick it can all end and how
yeah,
it gives no warning. So yeah, that's it. It actually is. You're right. It is. It's quite sweet. It's very, it's yeah. nice. Like.
So she just sounds so lovely. And she also became like incredibly protective of the children that lived there. Because of course she just lost her own child.
Of course, yeah.
You're going to care more about other people's children then because you're like, love them because they're going to be gone someday.
Yeah.
And yeah, so just poor fucking Elise. Like, so obviously it wasn't till years later that Elise died, but they believe that she stuck to the Dakota because that's where her son died. She loved her job. She took care of the children. And because we have ghost children on the grounds of the Dakota, it's possible that she stayed to take care of the little ghost kids.
Aww.
And yeah, so she just wanders the halls taking care of everyone and lamenting the loss of her son still to this day.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I didn't realise I ended it on such a sad ghost. I should have maybe swapped them.
It's
but
sad but wholesome though at the same time.
Yeah. So I think Elise just sounds like such a sweet lady and I'm so sad for her and her loss and struggles and stuff. But I hope she's happy, still roaming. Well, she's not. She's crying at all times of the day. She's literally called the crying lady, so I don't know who I'm lying to, if not myself. But in some way, I hope she's happy in some way.
What about if she's like crying because obviously she would have seen other ghosts and she maybe a bit like expected her son to be one of them and he never was.
And he's not. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, that's probably why she probably stayed, like deliberately stayed in the Dakota to try and see him again. And he's gone. He's moved on. And now she can't leave because her final business was to see him again, but she can't. That fucks me up.
Oh, that is.
I think that's so sad.
Oh, that is.
Poor Elise. I almost kind of hope that Elise isn't the crying lady because.
Yeah, she's had enough
tragedy. Then it means she's off and she's rested and it's fine. And she's not just roaming the hallways crying. I hope it's somebody else.
Honestly.
Because she just sounds like the loveliest woman. But yeah, so that is the story of the Dakota, where John Lennon famously died.
That is
and
weird.
Countless others.
Like,
isn't
the Strawberry Fields for Everything is like, it's kind of fucked me up for a right one. Like, it does. It. Because like, that's the name of the song, but like, it was built by Strawberry Fields and that's where he's remaining forever if he's a fucking ghost.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure, I'm almost certain the Strawberry Fields aren't there anymore.
No,
but
the fact that
it doesn't really matter.
No. I don't like it.
They were there when it was built and they would have been there for like a couple of years, I'm sure, afterwards. Until other people started to construct in the area.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
No.
Also, apparently Edward was so like obsessed with how the Dakota was meant to look and stuff, that he kind of bought off other people to make sure that their buildings tied in with it, like that they stuck to the same level of luxury that he wanted that area to achieve.
Because Edward had money. No wonder he's so angry in death, because then he can't control anything.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's no say over things about like that, the decoration and stuff like that. So it does explain as well why he's getting tick, waving his toupee in people's faces and scratching. It makes sense.
So I'm just checking here now, because he spent over $1 million in 1880 building
how
the Dakota.
How expensive is that now?
Which $1 million is a lot today. So let me just find my calculator here.
Watch us be upset.
Holy shit, okay. So 100 is worth 2,830 in today's money. So we're looking at, what is that, like 20 odd million?
Jesus Christ. That's insane.
That's so much money, like, so that's how much he spent building the Dakota. Like
20 million by today's standards.
20 million.
Like... The
more
people
even
that
because
would
it's like 2,830, so it would have been closer to 30 million, I think.
That's insane.
It's a lot of money. A lot of money for a place that you never got to live in. Yeah. Could I? That's like, I'd be shaking my wigs at people too if I spent 30 million on a gaff I never got to live
His
in.
His anger is justified. 100%.
It really is. I would be pissed.
We're fuming for you, Edward.
Yeah. There you go.
That was really good.
Edward Clark. John Lennon, the crying lady, and some kids.
Impossible demons.
I mean, that one little boy is just definitely.
And
demon
I'm still
vibes,
not over
like.
Man Child.
Yeah.
I'm unsettled. I just keep on picturing Brahms and that creepy fucking face, and I don't like it.
You know, since you've said the doll mask, I'm like, I can't rest now, because that's all I visualise. It was bad enough when it was like a young boy's face on a grown man's body, but now it's like a mask of a young man's face on a grown man's body, and that's a lot more.
Could you imagine, right, you're skulking through your apartment, or you have to run down the hallway for whatever reason late at night, and you just see that creepy cunt standing there, or you open the elevator and he's standing there. No, thanks.
Yeah, that was quite a lot of ghosts we went through today.
I hope none of us get haunted. We had a few. That's the aim of the game.
I mean, look, I'm haunted anyway, so I've learned to just take my chances. It's not worth missing out on a good story. And if I'm getting haunted, I mean, most likely we're getting fucking little boy face or demon or fucking toupee shaker. Although I'll accept him. I'll be fine with the toupee shaker.
The other two can.
But wouldn't it be nice to be haunted by John Lennon?
I feel like he'd get on my wick after a while, to be honest.
I feel like you could definitely like take him to Amsterdam and just shit conspiracy theories.
Absolutely. He is, but he's one of those people that stay at a party a bit too long, you know, when everyone else has gone home and you're like, is this lad ever gonna fuck off? Like, they're all right, they're good crack, but it's just constant shite talk after a while. And you're just like, man, love you, but it's time to go.
Yeah. You've overstayed your welcome and your haunting. So, sage.
Be gone.
Be gone. Imagine you could actually do that to ghosts. What you've just done. Like, you just walk up to them and be like,
bye.
And they just fly in the breeze like a paper bag.
That'd be fucking hilarious, to be honest. Could you imagine?
We're coming up with a whole bunch of extra theories about the paranormal today.
Honestly.
You can bring your wigs. You can bring your chandeliers. We can blow you away like a fucking Katy Perry
plastic bag.
Plastic bag.
Or Edwards.
Drifting
through
the wind.
In the fucking wind.
Good to know you don't have to be bald in the afterlife. So if I do ever bleach my hair to the point that it disappears, I can just wig it up. I don't have to worry.
Make sure it's a nice wig though.
Of course. And an extravagant one too. Like, I want to look like I died in the 1800s, but realistically, it was recent. That
Mate,
would be
another...
fantastic. Bury me in a ball gown.
Girl. You know why, Ben?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Delusion, I'll to think that I want.
I mean, I knew you would. I just had to ask anyway, just to be sure. Because otherwise someone's just going to put me in like my constant outfit, which is pajamas. That'll be that. Just pajamas, fluffy socks, and my hair slapped up and
she
like half dyed.
In her afterlife, like she did in her past life. In pajamas. On a couch.
In pajamas.
On a forming bed.
Bury me with a cup of tea in my hand also. Just a cup of tea and a fag. That's it. That's all I need. Just a fag in one hand. Imagine the archaeologist bit digging me up. Okay, all right. Wait, right. Here's what we're doing. Ball gown, right? Extravagant wig. Makeup to the nines. Cup of tea and a fag. By fag, I mean cigarette. For anyone who's not listening, that's from Ireland. That's what we call them, okay? Relax. I'm not being offensive. And then... And then we preserve me ridiculously well.
I'm sure we can perform an outlay on Go to Florida. Ask fucking Carl how he did it to perfection.
Or the, like that little mummy girl from Italy who is still going strong. Whatever, like the combination for her embalming is on the internet. You can find it. And I want to be jerky just like that so that I last forever. And then archaeologists will dig me up and they will have so many questions.
Like, who is this marvel? And they'll like... Do you know what? You have to be buried though without high heels, a pair of slippers, because it's like you just before you head out the door. So dress, makeup, everything. I'm like, what is this?
Yep.
Was this symbolic of the time she was alive? Like, yes, it's...
It's like, what kind of importance did she hold? It's like, haha, none. I'm unemployed and I have three friends. Like, fuck you. You thought I was important. That is exactly what I want.
Be one for the history book.
Make me look like the nobility that I should have been, but I was born in the wrong time. I love it. Mm-hmm. This is the plan. This is how we're... I'm just killing myself off now just for the fun
of
it.
Just complete fucking notions, but look, notions can turn into reality. Yeah. This podcast started off as a notion.
It's better than my original plan.
So it did.
Yeah. And look how well that's come along. I mean, look, we have more than the original 10 listeners than we thought that we would. So... We've come a lot further than we thought we would, and someday more people might discover us and understand our particular brand of storytelling / humour. And you don't know. People seem to like us somewhat. That's it. Positive vibes into the universe. I say it every fucking week. It has to work eventually. Well, not every week. I've said it since.
So every week because we started the podcast during quarantine.
Well, no, because. We didn't start the positive vibes and negative tests until recently. That was like... I don't know how long I've been doing that, actually.
Just after Dean Hall.
Yeah, I think so. Had I moved yet? So much has happened. I said this to David yesterday.
Time is not a concept.
Like, every month of 2020 has been 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, it really has.
It's actually true.
Someday we have the pressure of being living historians and telling our grandkids about the flashbacks of 2020 and what it was like to live through a global pandemic. What did you do, Granny? Well, what do you think I did? I stayed at home. I got fat and I did a podcast.
How everyone is like rip on their parents and they're like, you don't know how hard I had it. I had to walk to school with no coat on, -16. I'm like,
oh my God, yes.
You can't do that. Did you have to live through a global fucking pandemic, little cunt? No, you didn't.
You can't go to a party. I couldn't see my family. People had to look at their granny through a window. Oh my God, yes, we're going to be such great parents. We have such great guilt trip to put our kids on. Cracking. I love this. There we go, guys. It's not all negativity in 2020. We have future hope. It's shit now. But when it's over, we can use it to
traumatise our kids and is that early age so they develop a personality.
And a sense of humour, because you need a healthy amount of trauma to be funny. So, I think it's fine. You know what? All good things happen after all of the shit. There's a reason for everything. And this is ours. The global pandemic happened so that millennials and Gen Z could traumatise their children in future years to come. That's it. That's why it happened. The end. Full stop.
That's your conspiracy.
That's my hot take there. But alas, I think that's about where we wrap things up here now today, because I don't really have any more to say. End of our stories.
Yeah.
We've no Quiva to bring us on long-winded tangents that end up, you know, being used as outtakes or end of episode conversations. So
it's an empty void.
It is.
And this is what, see, Caoimhe, how dare you be successful and get another nice new job and leave us in the lurch.
Yeah.
You bitch.
I mean, like, what are you out here with all these jobs for? I don't even have one. Do you know how disrespectful you're being to the unemployed?
How dare you like your job when I hate mine? How dare?
Exactly. This is deeply upsetting. I don't think we can forgive you. We're back to
you have to
fired.
Be on the same it's level just... of misery as the two of us in order to succeed in this friendship and business.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like you're there. You're too happy.
Too positive. We will see you guys next week for whatever we manage to do then. And Caoimhe may or may not be back with us, to be honest. We don't trust her. So when she disappears...
She said it might be getting her P45. We don't know.
Yeah. She's on probation now, I think. I think we put her in a probationary period. And we will see if her work ethic is more... what's the word I'm looking for? Satisfactory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, satisfactory.
If Caoimhe doesn't get fired, she'll be back next week, possibly. But yeah, no, we actually can't say that for sure because we just never know that woman's schedule. We just don't.
No.
So you'll see her again. We just don't know when. And you'll see us again next week for sure. Positive vibes and negative tests. And other than that, always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles. And join our cult.